Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Eu n-am unde pleca cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time.
I want to welcome everyone tonight to the Light of Truth broadcast with Michael Boldea. We are going to be playing a show that Michael did right after Donald Trump being elected president, and it's a rebroadcast. Michael's not able to make it tonight, had something come up with his family. But stay on the line tonight because I think it's interesting noting in the face of all the personal attacks that have been coming against the president, and especially in the last 3 or 4 days, it's incredible that when we had a president that was for 8 years supporting gay marriage and supporting abortion, even to partial birth abortion, supporting every value that goes against the Bible and what Christians believe, you never saw the uproar and the incredible daily assault against that president, speaking of Obama. And I personally spent 8 years mourning the fact that he got elected. And I'm sure many of you as well did the same. We have to realize that I believe in my heart that God has given us, as Mike Boldea has said, a reprieve. Longer time of period of grace. And with Trump getting elected, we have to really believe that God had heard many people's prayers and God had heard the cry of the church. It was a very significant election, and without a doubt, Clinton, who stands for everything pretty much opposite of what a born-again, spirit-filled Christian would stand for, had she gotten elected president, I am sure by this time we would be in major derision as a country. I am sure that she would never have elected or supported Gorsuch for the Supreme Court, I'm sure we would have had a very liberal person put on the court. And we also have to be aware of the fact that Trump will be involved in probably 2 to 3 Supreme Court decisions in his tenure. Not to mention the fact that Clinton is, and always has been, extremely pro-abortion, as much as Obama, supporting partial birth abortion, supporting abortion throughout her legacy as a politician. And then you have all the other facets of scandal after scandal that Clinton was involved in prior to even the election happening, the email scandal, so many things. And I really strongly believe that God allowed this reprieve that Michael has been talking about over the last year. I do strongly believe that God put Trump where he is, and I think it's important for the church to stand behind and get behind candidate that is trying to give Jerusalem and Israel have Jerusalem be considered the capital of Israel is a good move on Trump's part. And God is clear in the word about a country that supports Israel. And there's no doubt that Trump is very pro-Israel, and it was a bold move. Today, Jeff Sessions came out and said that they want to support the federal law that does not allow the legalization of pot. And Obama basically sent out probably, I think, one of his edicts, or as he would talk about, laws that he would make without going through the Congress. He made pot. He said the federal government will not enforce the federal law, which has been against smoking and selling recreational pot in any of the states of the U.S. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that. And Jeff Sessions came out today saying we are going to support the federal law in supporting that marijuana use and recreational marijuana use will still be considered illegal no matter what the states vote, including California, which just voted for the recreational use of marijuana. And this is definitely a decision that Trump has supported. And we could go down a list of things that have been good and beneficial for the church. So I just want you to be aware of the fact that I strongly believe, especially in the last 2 or 3 days, it just seems like since Trump's been in office, there's been every attempt to discredit him, his family, oppose him. He calls it fake news, and so many media, liberal media outlets have made war against this president. They supported Obama, but they hate Trump. Isn't that interesting? They supported the liberal policies of Obama that went against the Bible on every level. So many things, including lighting up the White House in gay colors when in May, 3 years ago, when the United States Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, which was pushed strongly by Obama and the government of the leadership under him. And so we're at war. We're at war with these values. We're at war with the devil, and we're at war with the values that the devil wants to undermine and destroy. And I've talked to Mike about this, and he mentions political things because he believes the church should be engaged in standing up for those values and things that are important for the church. He's not a kind of guy that goes around the office talking politics a lot, but he is the kind of man that believes our nation has been given a reprieve again. And so we have to look at Romans 14. We have to understand that had Trump not been elected, things would be very different right now. There's no way Clinton would ever endorse moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. There's no way that Clinton would ever support the federal law that Sessions, the Attorney General, wants to support of saying that recreational pot and the selling and merchandising of it is still illegal. And you can see our nation's very divided. You can see that Trump's administration is trying to be more pro-family on many levels than Obama ever was. And just when Obama was president, quite honestly, just the whole gay marriage thing, Trump did not sign in June and July of this year, or of last year, he did not sign the gay marriage proclamation that Obama signed every year while he was in office that declared June LGBTQ, and maybe they've added another letter by now, month. He literally would send that letter out and support the gay pride parades around the country. And Trump did not do that, and Trump did not send a letter out. Trump did not endorse the gay pride parades. And that's a plus for the church. Every little victory we get leads to a big win. And even in our hometown here of Watertown, Wisconsin, in the last year, we have been in war with the devil. In our town where Hand to Help's located, our church has been located downtown, and we were next to the worst club in town, a nightclub that was hosting parties. Drugs were being put in women's drinks. There was they tried to bring in a male strip show. And our church and opposed it. And several months ago, I got a call from an alderman who called me up and said, "Mr. Schmidt, what do you think about this bar or club next to your church getting a liquor license, a permanent one?" And I came out and said, "No." I said, "You people, as politicians and leaders in our town, should defend family values, decent values, should defend what's right, and vandalizing cars and keeping people awake all night and music that's so loud you can hear it two blocks away and trying to bring in a strip show and trying to put drugs in girls' drinks is not. We're a church. We're right next to this club, and we're completely against this conduct. We're completely against this behavior. And no, you shouldn't give this club a permanent liquor license." And for the first time in over 100 years that night, they voted against giving the club a liquor license. And after that, we had to go into a hearing. They were given, the club ownership people were given a chance to have a hearing and try to tell the city why they deserve a liquor license and deserve to stay open as a business. We challenged that and sent the chief of police of our town and the city attorney got a hold of me. We started a Christian coalition in our town, and we started it with leaders that really want to defend the Bible and values important to Christians, because many, even pastors today, are afraid to stick their neck out of the water and say this is wrong when it's even happening in their own town. Many Christians are not defending and opposing things that are even happening in their own city and town that would come against their values. And I personally believe, as a Christian, I believe we're a soldier of the cross. I believe we're a soldier of Christ. I believe we need to defend our values and not be ashamed of them. I believe we need to defend our values even when we're persecuted, and I believe we need to defend values when they affect our town, our city, our community, our nation, our state, and many churches and Christians are silent. And Mike's spoken about it many times on his broadcast, that the church is too silent in the face of things that are coming against the church. And so we went to the hearing, and for 4.5 hours, our city had a hearing like you would have in court to give this bar people and owners a chance to tell the city leadership why they should still have a liquor license. After 4.5 hours, the city heard their arguments, and then the city came out with evidence on every level supporting our church and what we said we don't want happening in our town, and they voted against this club getting their permanent liquor license. And I believe it was God ordained that we stand against it. No, we shouldn't have strip clubs in our town. No, we shouldn't have porn shops. No, we shouldn't have lewd activity going on under the nose of a town where churches are in it. And no, there shouldn't be more bars than churches. There shouldn't be Thugville. And anything goes in our cities if we're the Church of Christ and we want to defend values important to God. At least that's what I believe. At least I believe that the faith deserves to be defended. It's what Mike Boldea believes. It's what I know our ministry believes, because Dimitru Dudeman, in the face of living in Romania, when he was a Bible smuggler and he was told it's illegal to pass out Bibles publicly because it's against the law now, which is what Ceausescu made laws like that, he went underground and passed out Bibles and gave the word of God to people, despite getting arrested and put in prison, because he so strongly believed in defending the Bible and the values of God that it did not matter what the consequence would be. And that is important, that our country, which is already in the balance and already in jeopardy, already been given warning after warning from God that judgment's coming, when, as Mike spoke, that we've been given this reprieve, and he's shared it a few times on the radio broadcast, we need to take advantage of it as Christians. We need to take this window of time, and we need to say, you know what, I am going to be vigilant, I'm going to advocate, I'm going to stand for the truth, I'm going to stand for the things of God in my community, in my state, where I live. And to finish this bit of story about this club next to our church here in where Handy Helps located, ultimately, after this ruling by the city, they came a day or two later, a relative of the owners, and came and got a backdoor temporary liquor license again. And we got wind of that. It was something the city never tightened their laws up enough to restrict out these temporary licenses. And so I got a call a few days later from the city attorney, who said we are going to make new laws in town that they cannot do that again. And when the city decides your business, your club, is not fit to operate in a decent manner, and when there's been abuse and again drugs and other things put in girls' drinks, vandalism, etc., the city of Watertown made two new laws and basically said that after you're denied a license, you can't come in and get another temporary license, and you don't get a hearing. Once the licensing board says we're not giving you a license, you won't get one. So God allowed that to happen in our town. And finally, as a result of this club again trying to operate, ultimately they had to have one more hearing before their new ordinances were put in motion. They had to honor the old ordinance. And at the final hearing, they completely and undeniably closed the club, said the club has to close. This was a first for our community. And why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing it up because we tried to get more churches and more leaders in our hometown to come to these meetings to defend what's right. And I'm going to tell you straight out, it's like pulling teeth. It's difficult. It's amazing how many people, even leaders and pastors, are afraid to stand up and really be proactive in defending decency and things that are important to God, important to the church, important to Christians, important to family. And it's amazing that how many decide to stay silent and to stay underground about it and not do anything. The Bible calls us a soldier. The Bible tells us we'll be in warfare. The Bible tells us to battle, like Mike's new book, The Battle Ready Believer. The Bible tells us to defend the faith. And I think that one of the biggest sins in American church is how quiet and silent they are, even in the face of 57 million abortions. How quiet and silent the church is, even when the whole gay marriage thing was litigating through the Supreme Court. Even when all these things over the years, look at prayer being taken out of school. And how can one or two wicked liberal people have laws made to support them when there's multitudes of churches in America? You would think there'd be enough uproar and opposition to support good change. And anyways, to get back to Trump and what's going on right now, we have to be proactive. We have to support leaders that are going to support our values. And I had to get that off my chest tonight to share that, what's been happening in our community. How important it is for ministers to stand up as leaders in the community for the values that are important to family. I can say in the last few years in our town here in Watertown that many very bad things and bad places that would have been disastrous for a family-friendly city have been stopped by God and God's people. And there's a change taking place in our community. You're starting to see, there were Family Video one time wanted to put a whole X-rated video section in our Family Video store in Watertown. And my pastor and I went to a meeting and opposed it. We got support from 2,000 people in our community, and Family Video backed down. And because of that, they never put their X-rated video section in. All the porn shops that were in town, I believe they're all pretty much closed. Someone one time wanted to put a strip club in town. I knew the owner and basically told him if he tries to do that, we'll picket it every day. We'll do whatever we can to make it very difficult for any customer to walk in that door. And he decided not to put one in this town. So how vigilant do we have to be? Very, and defend God's values, defend the faith. To some, it might sound like you're radical. You know, you're just too radical. Well, guess what? Jesus was radical. The minute he saw them money changing in the temple, he knocked the tables over. And you know what? I am sure someone could look and say, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, you know what he said? He said God's house should be holy. Jesus defended that value. And the Bible is very clear, you know, fight for your what? Lands. Nehemiah 4:14, fight for your country, fight for your children, fight for your wives, fight for your land. You look at Jehoshaphat going to battle. You look at Israel many times when God wanted to deal with a wicked tribe or a wicked group of people. He had Israel go to battle. And in the New Testament, there's many places where the Bible talks about as a good soldier in Timothy, you know, it's clear about a good soldier does not get entangled in the affairs of this life. A good soldier fights. A good soldier prays. A good soldier defends the faith. A good soldier stands for truth. And that's important. So I'm going to use the last few minutes of this broadcast to play a bit of what Mike spoke about after the Trump presidency, And thank you so much for hearing my little bit of trying to defend the values and those that are in office that at least I feel are more pro the Bible values and church values than getting people in office that absolutely trample them and run right over them. So listen up to what Mike's going to share for about a half hour.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Well, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and as is always the case, when another week has come and gone, we have much to discuss, and we have much to dissect, and we have much to contemplate. It has been a trying week in the Boldea household. I'm running on next to no sleep. And it's been like this for the past few days. Victoria has been sick. She's had a cold with fever for the last few days, and yesterday we added an ear infection to the mix just for spice. It's not fun to hear your child cry. I guess if I look at it from a different perspective, I'm thankful that I've heard her cry so rarely, because up until yesterday, I had only heard her cry like that one other time, and she's almost 3 years old. So God has been gracious. Ear infections apparently are the second most common ailments in toddlers and infant children, and this is the first time she's had to contend with it, but it is painful nevertheless. It to be honest with you, it just breaks your heart to hear your child cry. And if you've had children, or if you have children, and if they've had an ear infection, then you know how they react to the pain, because it is very painful. Keep us in your prayers. Hopefully, she will be better soon, as we have to travel to California. And sometime next week, I think next Wednesday, we're flying out. I have to do some meetings, and I am taking my family with me, because as I said on the Daily Truth this morning, when God calls you into ministry, he does not expect you to sacrifice your family. It doesn't work that way. When God calls you into ministry, he will make a way for you to do ministry and provide for your family. He will make a way for you to do ministry and be close to your family. He will make a way for you to do ministry and be the head of your household. It's a recent thing that happened. Somebody wrote me an email, and they were very proud, is the best way I can put it, about the fact that they walked out on their wife, on his wife and their two children for the sake of ministry. And for some reason, he thought this was reason for gloating. This was reason for being proud. And he wrote me this lengthy email about how he'd sacrificed more than most men because he'd walked out on his family. And my answer to him was, I'm not even going to ask you if God told you to leave your family, because I know he wouldn't. If you tell me that God told you to leave your family, I would tell you you heard it from the devil. It was the devil that whispered in your ear to abandon your wife and your two children, because there is no testimony there. You don't have a testimony if you walk out on your family and go about preaching the gospel. I don't care who you are. It's one of those things that just rubs me the wrong way. Self-important people that think they're above the word of God. Look, God will not ask you to abandon or forfeit family, children, wife, for the sake of ministry. He is wise enough to make a way for you to do both if you are called to ministry. Anyway, that's an aside. It's something that stuck in my craw, and something that I talked about this morning as well. But look, we need to grow up. we need to understand certain realities. And I know that in the man's mind, he thought he was worthy of praise, but he's beyond pitiable as far as I'm concerned. Because when you walk out on those whom God has appointed you overseer, when you walk out on those whom God has appointed as provider, you're worse than an infidel. So don't you dare tell me you're a minister of the gospel. Don't you dare beat your chest and say that you're an evangelist to the nations. Anyway, yeah, so you understand my position by now, I hope. It's not something that I take lightly because I've seen too many after effects. Let's put it that way. I've seen too many after effects of people who abandoned their families thinking that they were doing right. And I've seen their children grow up bitter and angry with God because they blamed God for taking away their dad. It wasn't God that took away their father. Their father went on his own. God would never ask such a thing. And so you have this generational ripple effect, wherein because of the foolish choice of the father, the children grow to hate God. And some of the hardest hearts that I've met are preacher's kids who felt that their father had abandoned them for the ministry. It's almost impossible to reach them once they get that mindset settled in their hearts that their dad went to work for God and left them behind, or that God asked their father to leave them and forsake them for the sake of ministry. Look, if God is a father to us, and he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, then we, being fathers to our own children, ought to do likewise, that we can make this intellectual leap that though God never abandons or forsake us, he would ask us to do it. How do we make that intellectual leap? How do we come to that conclusion that God will ask you to do something that he's unwilling to do? Just a thought. I don't know why I'm off on this tangent, to be honest with you, because there's a lot happening, and there's a lot that happened this week, and tomorrow's a big day. Here we are on the eve of the new president-elect being sworn in. And to be honest, things seem to be spinning out of control. You have CNN journalists fantasizing about the entire new administration, from the president to the vice president to everyone down the line, being assassinated. So that somehow, by some strange, twisted logic, Obama can remain in office. You have mentally ill individuals lighting themselves on fire outside of Trump hotels, and you have perverts and pederasts of every stripe dancing and protesting in front of Mike Pence's home. You know, just because they're so tolerant and all-inclusive and embracing of diversity and whatnot. Please understand this. These people that walk around with the rainbow flags and say they're tolerant and all-embracing and all-inclusive, they're the most hateful, bitter people you will ever meet in your entire life. Understand this, because there's a lot of the church out there today trying to make a bridge of peace, trying to understand them. You've got moron pastors marching in gay pride parades thinking that it will affect these people to change. These are the most hateful, reprobate people on the face of the planet. They're only tolerant of those who are like-minded with them. There is no tolerance for opposing views. So what do? They go have semi-naked dances in front of the vice president-elect's home showing their tolerance and all-inclusiveness. So if you happen to be one of those pastors, or if you happen to be one of those youth leaders, because this is it's more popular apparently among youth leaders, youth pastors are taking their young to gay pride parades to show support for the lifestyle. Really? These are the same people who wouldn't put you out if they saw you on fire. They just throw another gallon of gas on you and bring some marshmallows along. Unbelievable. Look, seriously, just how do these people have all this free time? This is what I'm wondering. Because I'm watching this, and there's people that should be at work. How do these people have so much free time? I need to know this because it's bugging me. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning most mornings. I get home around 6 p.m. I have dinner with my family, do a bit of work still, and start the day anew the next morning. And some people can go and dance half naked in 30-degree weather like buffoons in front of a family's home on a weekday just because they feel like it. How does this happen? Look, maybe we should try cutting off government aid for anyone under 40 with no dependents who's able-bodied and capable of working. Maybe that'll cut down on the protesters. What do you think? Why not try that for a change? I don't know, maybe there will be less perverts harassing a perfectly nice family in Indiana and maybe more of them looking for work. It's just vile trying to understand perversion, trying to embrace them, just sets me off. Look, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, kids. Hungry hurts worse than stupid. I'm going to repeat that. It's profound. You don't think it is as yet, but it's profound. Hungry hurts worse than stupid. If they seem not to be affected by their own stupidity, maybe it's time we tried hungry. So yes, cutting off government aid for anyone under 40 who has no dependents and is able-bodied and just doesn't want to work. Because there's lazy people out there. Look, we have an outreach here in Watertown, in Wisconsin. We have an outreach in the U.S. as well as in Romania. And when it's warm outside, we pass out food in the Walmart parking lot to people. Now, I'm not going to say every single one that comes is like this, but you can tell the people that are needy from the people that are just plain lazy. I'm sorry. Look, if you have time and resources to get yourself face tattoos and gauges and nose rings and every other thing under the sun, but you can't scrape together $10 to buy some lunch meat, what am I going to do? How can I help you out of your stupidity, but to let you go hungry long enough for you to realize that you're stupid and you need to stop inking your face and actually getting a job? Because I stopped going. I got so bitter in my spirit at a certain point when I saw perfectly healthy people my age and younger pushing old people out of the way to get a box of lunch meat, knowing that those old people didn't have the resources to buy them, and they didn't have the energy or the power or the stamina or the wherewithal to actually go and get a job. And here are these Welsh stallions of men, just 300 pounders plus, standing in food lines next to elderly people, elbowing them out of the way. Couldn't. I talked it out with my wife. I talked to my brother Daniel. I said, look, I know we're doing good, and the people that can do it can still do it, but I leave every Saturday morning bitter and angry because I see people taking advantage, and I detest anybody that takes advantage. So, yeah, we should try that. Cutting off government aid. Maybe that'll cut back on the protesters. What do you say? It promises to be a fun evening, does it not? But yeah, this is what I'm going to be talking about today, because the inauguration is a day away. It's tomorrow. And it seems that by all accounts, these people are losing their minds. The man has not even taken the oath of office. And there are people prognosticating the end of the world, hoping that a meteor crashes to Earth before tomorrow. Something, anything to make this current situation less of a reality for them. And the only thing going through my mind is that if they're acting like this now, imagine a month or two down the road, some of these people will literally, I'm telling you this, some of these people will literally be lying in their own filth and doing finger painting with their own fecal matter in some asylum somewhere. It's impossible for this not to happen. They'll have mental breakdowns. And, you know, I wish I weren't like this sometimes, but I'm okay with it. You've got to love it just a little bit, don't you? These self-important, pompous, bloated buffoons who think just because you played an intellectual in the short-lived television series, you are one in real life? Ah, to see the smug just slapped off of their face. To see the little hamster on the wheel in their brain just freeze up. To see the desperation in their eyes. To see them slowly, slowly, but surely coming to grips with the true measure of their own irrelevance. It's glorious. No, that doesn't make me a small person. It makes me a normal human being who's had all this nonsense and idiocy and foolishness and perversion just thrown at him over and over again by every single one of these buffoons. Nonstop. They've been going on and on for the past year and a half or so, telling us that what is happening would never happen. And when it did, that everyone who helped make it happen is a racist and a xenophobe and a bigot and everything else. They normalized the abnormal and called normal human beings abnormal in return. They put out videos and pleas and cries and screamed and did everything they could for this administration not to take office, and we are but a few glorious hours away from it becoming a reality. And it's sinking in. With a lot of these buffoons, it's sinking in. We don't have the influence we thought we did. We don't have the gravitas we thought we did. I guess people really don't care that we were in a movie in 1983. I guess the fact that we can speak in Shakespearean prose does not the heart melt? I guess we're human after all. And I guess people look at their own children and they choose the hope of a better future in lieu of the propaganda that we've been trying to shove down their throats. This is what these people are realizing. And a lot of them are going to have mental breaks because they can't cope with the reality. Look, supposed newsmen and supposed reporters and supposed journalists are coming up with hypothetical situations as to how the inauguration can go awry tomorrow. And although I haven't heard anyone float the idea of aliens coming down in their spaceships and interfering, I'm sure that we will by the time the night is through. I'm sorry, but nowadays you simply cannot have this much fun for free anymore. You've got fully grown individuals who fawned and got the vapors every time they saw Obama 8 years ago, hoping for a national disaster. They're hoping for something that would throw the nation into chaos, something that would most assuredly start a civil war in this nation, so Donald Trump doesn't become president tomorrow. Amazing, isn't it? It's astounding. If there was any proof needed that these people are in desperate and immediate need of mental health care, I think we've had it. I think it's time to call in the guys with the straitjackets and the muzzles. Look, this isn't some crackpot in his mom's basement eating Cheetos and typing away on his keyboard. This is the face of CNN, Wolf Blitzer himself, who kept going on about a disaster keeping Obama in office. If you don't believe me, I'm sure you have the internet. Look it up. Wolf the Blitzer. The face of CNN, the most mature anchorman to ever live, was going on and on about a disaster and what it would take to keep Obama in office and how pretty much everyone in the Trump cabinet had to die in order for this to be facilitated. Seriously? And no one is calling these people out on this? No one is throwing a flag on the play? No one's saying, Wolf, take your medicine this morning, buddy? Look, I'm just going to read a little bit of this because it's just too good. Listen to the lengths that these people are willing to go to in order to simply cling to some semblance of hope that this isn't really happening or that it won't really happen. As the nation prepares for the peaceful transfer of power, and come on, really, peaceful transfer of power, they've done everything they can to derail this. I mean, short of Obama coming out and calling for civil disobedience. Well, he kind of did. But okay, so short of him, you know, starting the revolution himself, short of him trying to stab Trump in the face tomorrow, they've done everything they could to make this the least peaceful transfer of power. Let's be honest. Can we do that? Can we be honest with ourselves? But anyway, the article. Let's get back to the article. I know I'm having so much fun tonight. It's the lack of sleep, I think. But as the nation prepares for the peaceful transfer of power on Inauguration Day, CNN is dreaming up scenarios whereby the Obama administration can keep power if President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence were blown up as they prepared to take the oath of office. This passes for news on CNN. They're dreaming up scenarios whereby the Obama administration can keep power if Donald Trump and Mike Pence were blown up as they prepared to take the oath of office. On Wednesday, January the 18th, broadcast of CNN's The Situation Room, host Wolf, the Blitzer, aired a segment with a tag featuring the headline, "Developing Now." During the developing segment, the Blitzer and correspondent Brian Todd discussed what would happen if the unthinkable occurred on January 20th. The Blitzer introduced the segment saying, "What if the incoming president and his immediate successors were wiped out in one day?" Seriously? Come on, seriously. The Secret Service hasn't paid the Wolf a visit? No cavity search? No checking if he's taking his meds? Do you realize what would happen in this nation if something were to occur tomorrow? Do you realize that we would no longer have a viable nation? There would be absolute chaos. It would be civil war. Done. And all the hashtag mafia, don't think they'll fare too well. Because, you know, us deplorables, the rednecks and such, the people living in flyover country, yeah, we have all the guns and the bullets. And all you have is snark and hashtags. They haven't made bulletproof hashtags yet. Just saying. So let's not pray for something that you don't really want. Believable. Nobody thinks things through anymore. Everything is a vitriolic reaction. But let's get back to the article. So, the Blitzer introduced the segment again saying, "What if an incoming president and his immediate successors were wiped out in one day?" And from there, CNN contributor Brian Todd took over to outline the line of succession if an attack blew up the inaugural dais, killing both Trump and Pence. Again, let me reiterate, this passes for news on CNN. The upshot was that in the case of both heads of state being killed, the Secretary of State would take over. Currently, the man is Secretary of State. Catch up, Kerry! No! But in case some objected, because his office would also end as of noon on Inauguration Day, then it would be the Speaker of the House, Republican Paul Chicken Little Ryan, or even Obama's Undersecretary of Political Affairs, Tom Shannon. I do not know Tom Shannon. There is no funny nickname for Tom Shannon. The report also noted that the designated survivor, this is how far we've gone into the lunacy. We're talking about designated survivors appointed by the Obama administration also potentially become president in the case of a disaster. So in CNN's analysis, most of the people who would take over in the worst case scenario would keep the Obama administration in power, at least indirectly. So while most of the country is looking to enjoy the day's events and waiting expectantly to hear what our new president will have to say for his first address as our leader, CNN is wondering what will happen if he is assassinated. And the article ends with this: perhaps CNN is still stuck in anger, the second stage of grief. So yes, losing their minds. There's no way around it. There's no polite way of saying it. They're losing their minds. Now, if you're asking what the big deal is, just imagine for a second that Fox News would have done a similar story when Obama got into office. Just imagine one of their top guys get on the air and go on and on about what would happen if everyone got wiped out in one day. Look, they'd still be talking about it 8 years later. And chances are better than good that the individual in question would no longer have a job. The fact that Wolf the Blitzer is not in an asylum as I speak these words proves that the double standard here is beyond the pale. And yes, Donald Trump was right when he said the media was biased. Look, let's face facts here, all right? I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. At this point, it's over. So if you were all hoorah-rah for Depends Hillary, you can join the others, finger-painting. But for the past 8 years, the media has been running cover for competent, overpaid, underperforming hacks. These are people who spent more time playing golf and on vacation than they did actually working on behalf of the people. And now their kingdom is brought low and they're losing their minds. But even now, they're trying to sell the American people on the total lie that unemployment is 5.7% or some nonsense. Now, it may be 5.7% when you no longer count the 96 million long-term unemployed people in this country. But if you add them to the rosters, as they ought to be, it's no longer 5.7%, is it? And I guarantee you, I foresee this as clearly as I foresee that tomorrow is Friday. Now that the new administration is about to take office, I guarantee you that the mainstream media will start talking about 15% unemployment and blame it all on the new guy who hasn't even changed the bed sheets in the Lincoln bedroom yet. Because this is the way they operate. I've said it before.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast tonight. And you got a pretty good half hour there of Michael talking about Trump getting elected, his inauguration, what he thought about it. And I think it's quite clear that everything we started the program out with saying, so many opposing forces to this president were clearly in action the week before his inauguration. Keep your leaders in prayer. Pray for America, the reprieve, the time we've been given, for our country to possibly have the last few chances to truly repent and truly be the nation God called it to be. And this program will be posted to YouTube tomorrow, and I'll be on the Blog Talk Radio archives. If you have a question for Mike, please send it in to lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, you can send an email with prayer requests, and you can also send those to handofhelpoffice@aol.com. Those in the Northeast tonight are getting probably one of the worst winter storms they've ever had. Keep them in prayer. Last word that I've received is they've gotten over 14 or 15 inches of snow on the Jersey Shore. New York is getting hit. Boston, the winds will be over 50, 60 miles an hour. It's an outright blizzard. It's like a storm of unprecedented strength. So we have many people on the East Coast that support our ministry. Again, have a great night in the Lord, and the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all